Father, I thank you for this day, this glorious sunshine day. I think that is sunshine. It's been so long since I've seen it. I thought we were reverting back to that first week of this series about faith and Noah. We thank you, Lord, that you're in charge of the weather, though. You bring rain when we need rain and sunshine when we need sunshine. I thank you that you have brought us together here this morning to worship you. This is your idea, not our idea, to corporately come together to lift up your name in praise. This is why we were created, to love and to worship you. Father, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. So today, as we come together as one, help us to forget all those things from last week that we can't really do anything about anyway. And help us to put the anxieties of this coming week out of our minds. Help us to focus totally and completely on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I want to start by saying, in this church, we believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. It's the only standard that we have for our faith and for our life. So even though we're skipping around this morning from Scripture to Scripture, it's still God's Word. It's still infallible. We still believe it from beginning to end. And today we're wrapping up a series, the summer series that we've had on character tour of the Old Testament. And throughout this series, what I've told you each week is that if you want to develop character in your life, you have to get out of your comfort zone. So if you want to grow, if you want to become all that God wants you to be, all that He created you to be, get out of your comfort zone and get into your character zone. I think this has been a great study. It has for me. I hope it has for you. I've gotten some great feedback from some of you folks on different characteristics and different characters, some insights into them that you hadn't heard before. I've found some new things out about these characters as well. And today we're going to look at another great character who challenges us to live a life of integrity. But before I do that, I want to take just a minute to brag on you. And I want to remind you that at the end of the close of last service, I asked you to take some donuts. We had donuts stacked up here, you know, last week, and you were to take them out and give them to policemen and firemen and people in uniform around our community that serve us all the time, and you were to serve them. Just give them a dozen donuts and tell them thank you for their service. No preaching, no invitation to Renovation Church, no telling them about Jesus. Just give them some donuts and say thank you for your service. There were 20 of you, about roughly 20. Some people took two dozen to some of the bigger places that took those boxes. I would love to hear some of the responses that you got. Anybody want to share? You want to get a mic for me? Can you? Anybody want to share? Anybody have a good story to tell us? No? Okay, we'll go on. No, it's a waste of time, right? No, it wasn't a waste of time. What did you hear when you took them? Okay. Bob right here. I know it wasn't a waste of time. Give me a microphone. Here you go.
We took ours out to the fire station, Cherry Grove number 4, That's the one way out on the end of Little River Neck Road that probably a lot of people wouldn't even think to go out there. Knocked on the door. Young guy came out there. Looked at the box, looked at us. He says, "Man, thank you." He said, "These things ain't going to last long."
Anybody else? Okay. Cookie?
I took mine to the fire station right on crossing Bull and Nose, near Bull and Nose,
okay.
Right out.
Mm-hmm. Sea Mountain Highway.
Sea Mountain Highway, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they were, a couple of them were standing in the parking lot just getting ready to go on duty, and they looked at those and said, "Wow, are those for us? What do we have to do for it?" I said, "You do every single day. You serve us. So we thank you for this."
Okay, great, great. Anyone else? Chris, coming. You could have taken them a cake.
I took mine out to Barefoot, and when I got there, it was locked. Great. So I start pulling out, and then a big fire truck pulled in. So I waved my hands. Is this working?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay. And they stopped immediately and opened the door. They thought there was a fire. So I said, "Here, thank you for your service." And they were all happy.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So you see how easy it was to serve last weekend? And how much fun it was? Even the ones of you that didn't have a story to tell us today, I'm sure you had fun doing that. Now, who ate the donuts and didn't deliver any? Nobody's going to fess up, huh? Okay. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. And I hope you had fun doing it. And we need to remember not just them, but all the people that serve us, that do that day in, day out, put their lives on the line for us while we're here having a good time on Sunday mornings. They're out there. Some of them have been up all night just to keep us safe. So you have to get out of your comfort zone. And for some of you, that might have been out of your comfort zone, even to get a box of donuts and drive up to a station house somewhere and give that box of donuts to someone. You have to say, "God, use me. I want you to use me." You have to put your character to the test. The crossroads of your character often comes with this issue of integrity. Because you see, we all are faced with decisions in our lives every single day. Every one of us here has to make some decisions that call on our integrity. Are you going to do the right thing is the question that we're asking today. When you do the right thing, is that going to lead to the right consequences? Is that going to reap the right kind of results, the kind of results that you want in your life, that you know God wants in your life? And when we look at Daniel, Daniel is a model of making the right decisions that produce the right consequences. So today, as we talk about integrity, notice what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29:17. It says, "I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there." I had a friend that used to call this the God smiles verse. And you'll see why. This verse says that God is happy. He rejoices when you live a life of integrity. This, when you live a life of integrity, it makes God smile. It makes him happy when you choose to do the right thing based on the right beliefs at the right time. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life that way. I want to live my life in such a way that it makes God happy, that it pleases him. And when we think about Daniel, we find that Daniel was a person who lived his life in such a way that it made God rejoice. Many of you here, probably most of you, whether you've been in church or not been in church, have heard of Daniel. Most of you know him from that story of Daniel in the lion's den. You know, we know that story. It's a powerful story, and we're going to talk about it a little bit today. But long before you get into Daniel and the lion's den, you find an interesting story in the first chapter of Daniel. There you find that God has placed Daniel into some really difficult circumstances. Daniel has been ripped out of his comfort zone. You see, he was a leader in the king's court in Israel. But King Nebuchadnezzar came in and took over Israel, and all the high officials in Israel are now slaves in Babylon, which is where Iraq is now. So Daniel, who was once a very wealthy official who had it all going for him, who was very comfortable in his surroundings, now finds himself as a slave. And then in Daniel 1, King Nebuchadnezzar does something very interesting. He goes to one of the palace officials and he says, "Go out there to those slaves and pick out the best and the brightest and bring them in and let them live in my palace and feed them my food." That's a pretty interesting move, isn't it? But he had an ulterior motive. King Nebuchadnezzar's desire was to raise up future leaders, you see. So he thought if they were the best and brightest of Israel, maybe they have something to offer my kingdom also. Maybe they will be the best and brightest in future Babylon. So he brings in Daniel and some of his friends, and they are chosen to come live in the king's palace. They're still slaves, remember, but they get to live in the king's palace, and they get to eat the king's food. I imagine that was pretty good food, don't you? A lot better than they were eating as slaves. And remember, the king's ulterior desire was that they grow up to be big and strong. The only problem was for Daniel to eat the king's food meant that he would have to violate God's dietary requirements. In other words, the food in the king's palace was not kosher. And since Daniel was a Hebrew, a Jew, he couldn't eat non-kosher food. So he went to the official after thinking a little bit, probably praying a lot, and said, "Look, your end result is for me to be healthy and strong, right? So I'll tell you what, why don't you let some of our group eat the king's food, and why don't you let some of our group eat according to God's dietary laws, and let's test it for a few months, and let's see who's the strongest at the end of that time." Well, Daniel's diet was the Old Testament diet of eating very lean meats and eating vegetables and drinking water. Pretty good diet, right? Your cardiologist would say that's going to be good for you today. As it occurred, after a while, Daniel and those who followed the Daniel diet were in better shape and they were more healthy than those who ate the king's food. That was the very first crisis of integrity. And long before he faced the lion's den, Daniel faced the diet crisis. He said, will I live according to God's standards, or will I live according to what I believe? And this was the first decision that began a life of integrity, a long life of integrity for Daniel. And don't get me wrong, living with integrity is not easy. It's never going to be easy. I'm not going to let you leave here today thinking living with integrity is easy. It doesn't mean that everything is going to go just the way you have it planned either. I know some of you came in here today and you're facing decisions. You have a decision to make when you get to work tomorrow. You have a decision to make in a relationship. You have a decision to make about a future spouse. You have a decision to make about a career. Life is not always easy. It's not like we have the switch of live with integrity. You can switch it on and say, now I'm going to live with integrity. Or you can switch it off and not live with integrity. No. Integrity is determined day by day, decision by decision. Got that? Integrity is determined day by day, decision by decision. You see, the reality is that we all make hundreds of decisions every single day of our lives. Have you ever stopped to think about how many decisions you made just to get here today? You got up this morning. You went to the kitchen. You had to make the decision between oatmeal or cereal or cold pizza. You know that decision, don't you? That's just one of the decisions that you made. You got up, you looked in the closet, you said, I'll wear a blue shirt or a green shirt. See, I couldn't make up my mind, so I wore them all. Most of the time, decisions don't really matter. I mean, whether you wear a blue shirt or a green shirt really makes no difference, but there are other decisions that are at a much higher level. For instance, being caught doing something wrong and having to decide whether you're going to lie about it or whether you're going to take responsibility and fess up to the consequences. Having to face the decision about how far you will go in a relationship outside of marriage. Will you push the boundaries? Or will you have clear boundaries in place? Having to decide whether you will speak the truth to someone you see who's going down a path that could lead to destruction? Or will you remain silent and just let them burn out? Some decisions have amazing consequences. And today I hope that as you leave here, you will be more aware of the decisions that you're making and the consequences that those decisions will have, and that you will decide to base your decisions on something eternal. That you'll base your decisions on the solid truths of Scripture. Making the right decisions can really be uncomfortable. That's true. All of us know that. It can take you out of your comfort zone, but there are great rewards for living a life of integrity. So, with that in mind, let's look at today how to live a life of integrity. Number one, know what you believe. You got to know what you believe. Do you think it's possible to live a life of integrity if you don't know what you believe? Is that possible? Let's just say that you're sleeping soundly tonight, and I come and I shake you awake and ask you, what do you believe? That's kind of creepy, isn't it? That's a very broad question. What do you believe? But in order to live a life of integrity, you have to know what you believe. You have to have an enduring moral code to base your beliefs on. Well, how are you going to find a moral code like that? Well, the first step is to ask, to look for it. And Proverbs 2, 3 through 5 says this, cry out for insight and understanding. Ask for insight and understanding. And then it says, search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure, and you will gain knowledge of God. Search for them. In other words, look for them. Look for them. You have to ask. You have to search for that knowledge as if you were desperate for it. Because you are desperate for it. We are desperate for it. So who must you ask? Well, Webster's International Dictionary defines God as the perfect, omnipotent, omniscient originator of the universe. I don't know whether Siri has the same answer as that, but that's a pretty impressive resume to me. It sounds to me like that's a good source to ask, doesn't it to you? Often, too often, I guess, we look to ourselves. Or we look to each other for knowledge. We rely on our own knowledge, our own feelings, our own interpretations on which to base our decisions. Or we rely on others to tell us what we believe or how we should act. But you probably have already found out there's a huge problem with that. Just because I worked out a solution, it doesn't mean that that's the right solution. It doesn't mean that that's the best solution. Why? Because I have incomplete information. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I'm not omniscient. I'm not all-knowing. You also base your decisions on emotions, don't you? We all do at some point, on how you're feeling at that particular time. And the problem with that is your feelings change. They change quickly. They certainly change day by day. How many times have you made a decision based on your emotion that you later regretted? And you look back and you thought, I can't believe that I made that decision. Just because a decision feels good doesn't mean that it's right. And just because a decision feels bad doesn't mean that it's wrong. Where else do you look? You look to others. In the 1980s, a school of thought called postmodernism became popular. Actually, it started in the 50s, but it really took hold in the 1980s. Basically, this school of thought was that there is a relativity to all meaning and to all truth. In other words, there is no absolute truth. Just a truth that is relative to an individual or to a culture. So truth can change depending on where you live, depending on the environment under which you were brought up. So in other words, if truth is relative, then no one is ever wrong. That's where we get politically correct language. No one is ever wrong. Truth can change. That's what postmodernism tells us. And it's not hard to imagine the danger of a worldview like that. We only have to look back to the 20th century to see Germany's worldview caused a world war where millions of lives were lost. So we can't just believe what we think or feel or what others tell us. We must have an eternal source of truth and belief that's steadfast and unwavering and uncompromising, never changing, always true. For Christ followers, that source is God and His Word. We get God's Word today mostly through the Bible. The Bible gives us simple answers to the questions of what we believe. And as we look at Daniel as our example, it's clear that Daniel believed in God. It's clear also that Daniel believed God. You see the difference in the two? Daniel had a steadfast, unwavering, uncompromising source for his beliefs. He was able to make hard decisions when his beliefs were challenged. Not just any decisions, but the right decisions, the best decisions. You see, it's impossible to make these decisions if we don't have an eternal and uncompromising source. If your beliefs change like the wind, then how can you make a right choice or a best choice when that choice is always changing? You can't. There's no way that you can. You have to decide what you are going to believe, and then you have to stick with it. And since you can't trust your knowledge or your feelings, or trust each other, then the only source you can trust is God. Make sense? And God promises you great things when you believe. Mark 9:23 says, anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. The second step in how to live a life of integrity is trust what you believe. Trust what you believe. We find that Daniel's integrity rubbed off on his friends. King Nebuchadnezzar, try saying that three times fast. King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image of himself and demanded his entire kingdom bow down and worship it. Of course, Daniel's friends had a problem with that as well. They believed that God deserved all of their worship, and they refused to worship that golden statue. And that made the king furious. And he said, you either bow down and worship this statue, or I'll throw you into a fiery furnace. And look at how they responded in Daniel 3, beginning at verse 17. They said, If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. Wow. They not only knew what they believed, they trusted what they believed. They trusted it with their very lives. They also trusted that God, their God, would rescue them. But notice what they said. They said, even if he doesn't. Even if he doesn't. They were not going to compromise their beliefs, even if it cost them their lives. Let me ask you this. Is there anyone at all in your life today that you would trust with your life? Is there anyone that you would trust with your life? Maybe a friend? Maybe a family member? Maybe a spouse? Maybe those people can indeed be trusted with your life. I'm not saying they can't be. But my question to you is this. If you would be willing to place your life in the hands of someone who is an imperfect human like that, why wouldn't you place your entire life in the hands of an all-knowing, powerful, faithful, and everlasting God? Why wouldn't you? Daniel's friends, you see, were indeed thrown into the furnace. And the most amazing thing happened. He said, the furnace was so hot, it consumed the guards who led them to the furnace. It burned up the guards who were leading them to the furnace. But the king noticed that they were actually walking around inside the furnace. And it says, not a hair on their heads were singed, and their clothing was not scorched, and they didn't even smell of smoke. Wow. Wow is right. Somebody said, wow. That's right. Wow. God had indeed rescued them and protected them. And you know what? God will protect you as well if you trust Him. He will. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect who? You. You. He's going to protect you. Now, later on in Daniel, we get to the lion's den. That famous part. That story that all of you have heard sometime or other. Daniel, despite the king's orders that no one should pray to anybody but the king, and that it was illegal to pray to anyone but the king, Daniel went ahead and prayed to God and was thrown into the lion's den as a result. Not a scratch was found on him because he had trusted his God. And God repeatedly and faithfully protected Daniel because Daniel repeatedly and faithfully trusted God. And the same can be true for you and for me. And look, I'm no Pollyanna. I know trust is hard for us today. It's hard to trust in the culture that we live in today. Almost every one of us, I would say every one of us here, has been hurt and disappointed by trust we have placed in other people. Sometimes we're hurt over and over and over again. And what happens then is we stop trusting. We just stop. We decide we will never again be put in a position to be hurt and disappointed and have our trust violated by anybody else. I mean, that's true in my life. I started out like everyone, trusting people and having faith. And time again, I was disappointed and hurt. So much so that I became mistrustful. I became suspicious. I decided that it was easier to live my life alone and not trust anyone than to risk being hurt again. I lived that way, if you call that living. And I can tell you that was a very unhappy and lonely life. And I know some of you feel that way. Some of you have placed your trust in your friends and your family, or in a romantic relationship, and been hurt time and time again. You just decided then that it's easier for you not to trust anybody than to risk being hurt again. But I'm here this morning to tell you that you don't have to live like that. There is someone you can trust. There is someone who will take your trust and treat it as the most precious gift ever. And that someone is God. Daniel, you see, placed his trust and his beliefs in God. And he was rewarded greatly. And so will you be rewarded. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." How do you live a life of integrity? To live a life of integrity, the first step is you know what you believe. The second step is trust what you believe. And the third step is live what you believe. Live what you believe. I dare say it's impossible to have integrity if you don't live what you believe. If you know it and you trust it, then you have to take the step to live it. You have to act. 2 Chronicles 19:9 says, "You must act with integrity and with undivided hearts." Now, I don't care what you do. You can underline the word act, or you can circle it, or you can put a star next to it, or you can put arrows pointing to it. Whatever you want to do to say that word is important. Act. Because belief without action is hypocrisy. Belief without action is hypocrisy. The world out there looks at the church in here and says, they're a bunch of hypocrites. And they're right. They are absolutely right, because we don't live out what we say we believe. Do we? Do we? I don't. I haven't all the time. I guess all of you do. You're great. Belief without action is hypocrisy. And Daniel is a portrait of living with integrity. He made them over and over and over again. And you're faced with hard decisions every day, but none that may result in your being thrown into the lion's den, I hope. But I bet sometimes it feels like you may. The problem is that integrity is the sum of all of our decisions, not just a few of our decisions. Integrity takes discipline and awareness, and it can be painful and uncomfortable for the best of us. And some of the reasons why we make decisions outside of our integrity are popularity and convenience and fear and materialism and selfishness. You know, it's not always popular to make the right decision. It can challenge friendships and relationships. Waiting until marriage to live together. Going to work on that sunny day when you know you can get away with calling in sick and going down to the beach instead. Refusing to go out partying with your friends or going out with your friends and not partying. Making the right decisions can be uncomfortable. But remember, and this will be the last time you hear me say this in this series, God is far more interested in your character than He is in your comfort. God is far more interested in your character than He is in your comfort. You know, this step of living out your beliefs is the hardest one, I think. It is, in my opinion, anyway. Because we live in a society where it's hard to live up to your integrity. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." You see, Daniel is the consummate example of not copying the example that he was, the environment that he was in. He was also creative and resourceful in his decision making. You can be that way too. You can be creative. You don't always have to reject the world or hit them over the head with your beliefs. You don't have to hit them over the head with the Bible or seem unreasonable or stubborn. You can have strategy and make the right decisions. Now, I know it might seem strange to you that you have to have a strategy to make the right decisions. But Jesus Himself said in Matthew 10:16, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." I think all of us in here today understand the innocent as doves part. But I think the shrewd as snakes part can be uncomfortable. And after all, what does that mean? What it means is, like a sheep among wolves, you're living in dangerous territory. And you have to be cunning if you want to survive. But no matter how creative and resourceful your solutions may be, you have to be willing to make the sacrifice needed to live this life of integrity. You have to make that hard decision. All of us at some time are going to have to make that hard decision. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:1, happy are the people of integrity who follow the law of the Lord. How do you live a life of integrity? Well, here's the last step, number four. Share what you believe. Share what you believe. I encourage you to nail down your beliefs as if you're shaken in the middle of the night, so you can say what you believe. Say what you know that you believe. Then there's this bigger step, to trust what you believe. It's one thing to know, but you have to trust with your heart. Then there's the challenge to live out what you believe. That's a huge one. All of us know a lot more than we live out, I think. But integrity goes even beyond that to this fourth step of sharing what you believe. You see, when you've experienced something, when you've experienced the peace of mind, when you've experienced the satisfaction of your soul, when your life is matching up and you find that you're moving beyond hypocrisy into integrity, then it's time for you to let other people know about it. And you need to understand that sharing doesn't mean that you are better than them. You're not better than them. Sharing means that you've found something, that you found solid ground, that you found a rock on which to build your life, some stability on which to build your life. And I don't believe it's too far-fetched to say that in our day there is a crisis of integrity in our culture. You see that all the time in business. All the time in business with some of the headline stories. Warren Buffett was speaking at an annual meeting of his company, Berkshire Hathaway, and he said this: in order to be successful in business, you must have passion, intelligence, and integrity. Without the last, the first two will kill you. Warren Buffett. You're around people all the time who have passion, who have intelligence, and yet you see them make decisions that destroy their careers, that destroy their relationships, that destroy their marriages. Why is that? It's because they're missing this one piece of integrity. And Daniel had that solid foundation. And that spilled over into the lives of those people around him. Remember the three in the furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice what it says a little bit later in Daniel 2:17. Then Daniel went home and told his friends what had happened. They saw Daniel being taken care of with this diet. And they were able to stand then in the fiery furnace because of that. He said, look, I found something that you can trust. I found something that you can believe in. I found a foundation, and I want you to discover this as well. In our day, so many people around us are searching. When so many people are being tossed around by philosophy, by their own beliefs, by just leading their own lives based on emotion, you and I have found something. We have found something. We found something eternal. We found something from these characters in the Old Testament. We found something in the uncompromising Word of God that we can share with others. And we can say, here's something. Right here is something that you can build your life on. Here's something that will help you. Here's something that will help you live a life of significance. You want a life of significance? Find it here. This will make you happy. And I want to challenge you today to share what you believe. This is real life. People face real decisions every day. And they're tossed around by all sorts of misbeliefs in our society. They have no solid foundation on which to base their decisions. Romans 10:14 says, talking about why we should share with others, says this, "But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them?" That someone is you. You. Don't wait on the great evangelist to tell them. That someone is you. You're the one that's going to interact with them today. So I want to challenge you to share with them. But I also want to challenge you to make the right decisions, even today. As I said earlier, first part of this message, I imagine all of you came in here with decisions rolling around in your minds. Maybe you have a job offer in this city or in another city, and you have to make a decision about that today or tomorrow. Maybe you have a relationship and you've been thinking, is this the right time for me to get married? Should we live together just to kind of test this thing out? You know, in your heart, that's not the right thing to do. Maybe you're in a marriage, but the marriage has been strained and you've been turning your attention to someone else. And maybe you're thinking, that's where I can find happiness and satisfaction. But again, you know in your heart, that's not right. Maybe you're under a test at your job and they're asking you to do something that's going to violate some of your beliefs. And you know you need to take that step or that promotion, but you're not sure it's the right thing. Know what you believe. Decide to trust what you believe. Live out what you believe. You see, God is going to honor right decisions every time. He will honor them. And I know that can be tough. And as we wrap up today and wrap up this series, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for the decisions that you're making, that you will have God's wisdom and that you will have a solid foundation and that you will live a life of integrity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that we can come to you and we can ask the tough questions of life. And God, we know that you will give us insight. God, I thank you for your inspired and infallible word, the Scripture, which always gives us guidance that is eternal. So God, I pray for every person here who is facing decisions. And that's all of us. We're all facing decisions about what to do, about what's right and what's going to bring the best results for us. God, I pray for those that find themselves today in those situations of making tough decisions imminently. And I pray you will give them your wisdom and your strength and your peace. That what they're doing is indeed right. And I pray that you will protect us from those times when it's easy for us to go our own way, and help us to stay centered in you. And with Daniel as our model, help us to live our lives in such a way that we become a portrait of integrity as well. We aren't perfect people, but we want to take steps today to be people of integrity and do what is right. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I added two things at the end of your handout that I didn't have on the PowerPoint. A recap of the series there. I have Noah, a portrait of faith. Abraham, a portrait of obedience. Deborah, a portrait of courage. Jesus, a portrait of servant leadership. Daniel, a portrait of integrity. And in the last blank there, I want you to write your name. Your name. Your name. A portrait of faith, obedience, courage, servant leadership, and integrity. I pray that for you today.